Welcome to Fly High Ministries, everybody. Really good to be with you today. I pray that the Lord is blessing you and keeping you no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing. You know, today's message is whatever happened to Doc Baker. I don't know about you, but I remember watching The Little House on the Prairie, and I remember Doc Baker and how he truly cared about his patients. Yes, he was the doctor, and he would go in his little horse and carriage, and he would go to house, just caring about the town and the people of the town, and he would try to help them with any kind of sickness. But he truly cared, and he would stay there all night. He would stay there all night with the patients, and if they had a fever, well, he would put ice on them, and he would be there all night. I mean, this Doc Baker truly cared about Walnut Grove, and he truly cared about the people of Walnut Grove, and he truly cared about what he was doing. He loved to help people. He loved to help people, you know. And this was a doctor that I wish that was around in America today. I wish a doctor like this was around in America. Whatever happened to Doc Baker? Because today I don't see this kind of care as I go to the hospitals. Come on, let's be honest. Everything's about computers today, and when you go see a doctor, they set you there, they look at you. Well, what do you want? What's wrong with you? So you tell them, and they type it in a computer. And this huge hospital industrial complex, I mean, these hospitals today are like college campuses. And, you know, the truth of the matter is we have all this technology and we have all these big facilities, but we have no love like Doc Baker. Yes, the truth of the matter is our doctors in America don't really care about you anymore. No, they type it into a central database and they prescribe you whatever you need and that's about it, but don't get care. Now, Doc Baker, on the other hand, he truly cared. If there was a problem with Mr. Ingalls, Laura, he was there. And he would go around and carry his little black bag and he was there. Yes, he truly cared. Doc Baker truly cared, and I wonder whatever happened to Doc Baker in America today, because when I go to the hospitals, they just seem cold. You just seem like another number. They got their huge facilities. Now, I'm not saying that some hospitals are good, and I'm not saying that all doctors are bad. Please don't mistake me, but what I'm saying is this. The love, we don't have the love in the hospitals as we used to, and we don't have the true care in the hospitals that should be in there today. And whatever happened to Doc Baker, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ understands you, and Jesus Christ is the great physician. Whatever happened to Doc Baker, you know, Doc Baker, he was a great physician. But I'm telling you, Jesus is even a better physician, and he is also a great physician. But not only is Jesus a physician, but he has many different specialties in the medical fields. And one of them is he's a dermatologist. And if you go to Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 15, we see that Jesus heals a man with leprosy. The Bible says while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when Jesus saw him, he fell. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hands and touched, and "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." You know, the truth of the matter is that Jesus was a dermatologist, and he cared about the skin. Yes, when he did. And you know, the Bible is an awesome, awesome thing. When Christ touched the leopard, he is, in a sense, violating the law of Moses. When Christ touched the leopard and the Bible says in Leviticus 13, verse 46, as long as they have a disease, they remain unclean. They have lived alone. They must live outside the camp. Yet, the Mosaic priest is allowed to touch the leper by means of shed blood. In Leviticus 14:14, the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear, and the one to be cleansed on the thumb of the right hand and on the big toe of the foot. So Jesus was the blood. Jesus was to die on the cross to sacrifice his blood, and Jesus was able to touch the leper, and yes, he was a dermatologist. And the lesson here is obvious, that Christ bore our infirmities as well as our sins. In Matthew 8:17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. And you know, today Jesus is our great high priest in Hebrews 3:1, and he can apply the remedy for the leprosy of sin. The gift that Moses commanded is linked with the requirement of cleansing in Leviticus 14:19-24. Yes, Jesus is our great physician, and we need to believe that. You need to believe that Jesus is your great physician. Whatever happened to Doc Baker? Well, I tell you, Doc Baker was a great doctor. He was a great physician. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the great physician. And he does love you and he cares for you. You know, not only is Jesus a dermatologist, okay? But Jesus was also an orthopedic specialist. He was an orthopedic specialist, yes. In Luke 6 verse 11, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisee and the teacher of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. You know, nor only did Jesus heal the withered hand, but he also healed the crippled woman. In Luke 13:11-13, and a woman was there who had been crippled by the Spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not stand up straight or straighten up at all. Then when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, "Her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised the Lord. You know, God is our great physician today, and I'm here to tell you today that God should be your great physician. Whatever happened to Doc Baker, well, I tell you, he walked around that little black bag, and he went to the Ingalls. He even went to the Olsons of Nellie. Even how, you know, he truly cared about Walnut Grove, but, he was a good physician, I would have to say, but he wasn't the great physician. But not only was Jesus a dermatologist, he's an orthopedic specialist, but Jesus also specialized in preventive medicine. You know, in John 5:14, later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning and something worse may happen to you." And what was this preventive medicine Jesus was telling him? Well, the prescription was to abstain from sin. Jesus went a little further with this lame man to telling the man how to stay well. One way to stay well is to stop sinning, is to stay away from sin, flee from sin, free from evil. That is a way to remain well. Can I get an amen today? Oh my gosh, whatever happened to Doc Baker? He was a good physician, but Jesus was the great physician, and Jesus cares about you, and he cares about your health, and he cares about your soul, and he cares about your mind, and he cares about what you're doing, and he sends a comforter. He sends the Holy Spirit of God. He sends a great comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit wants to touch you in your life today. You know, not only was Jesus, he was not only was he a dermatologist, not only was he an orthopedic specialist, nor did he specialize in preventive medicine, but God was also a pediatrician. In John 4, verse 46 through 54, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay back, who lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonder, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, the servant met him with the news that the boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when the son got better, they said to him, yesterday at once, in the afternoon, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time in which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. And this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. You know, I'm here to tell you today that you will live. I'm here to tell you today that you will live. No matter what you're going through today, Jesus is a great pediatrician. And not only did Jesus heal the nobleman's son of his physical infirmities, but he proved to be an expert in pediatric psychology. In Luke 9:37-42, the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seized him. And he suddenly screams. It throws him in a convulsion so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. And I beg your disciples to drive him out. But they could not. And Jesus said, you believe in the perverse generation. Jesus was like, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. And even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground with convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Jesus proved here to be a pediatric psychiatry here. I mean, he dealt with the mental illness here. And I'm here to tell you today, a lot of mental illness is because of demons. You just can't prescribe a medicine to someone who's demonically controlled. And a lot of people today are demonically controlled, and you can't just give them medicine that's not going to take away their demons. You know, in Matthew 15:21-28, leaving the place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. The Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. And Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. The Lord help me, she said. He replied, is it not right to take children's bread and toss it to the dogs? Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs and fall from your master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. The truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is this. That Jesus is the great physician. And he is healing people all over the world today. And God wants to heal you. God wants to give you strength. God wants to heal you. He wants to prosper you. And yes, He does want to bless you. I'm here to tell you today that God is a great physician. But whatever happened to Doc Baker? I mean, I don't know about you, but when you go in the hospital today, man, they are cold, aren't they? They're huge and they're cold and they're mean and they're rude. And do you have your insurance card? How do you plan to pay for this? You know, what is going on? Whatever happened to Doc Baker? Where is the love? Where is the physicians that truly care about their patients? and not worrying about their paychecks. Where are those doctors? But maybe those doctors aren't around you today. Maybe you don't have that kind of doctor. Maybe your doctor don't care. He just is going to work and you're just another patient. Maybe he don't look at you and truly care about what's wrong with you. Maybe he just types your symptoms in a computer and gives you a prescription and sends you on your way. But maybe he's not the one. Maybe he's not the one or she's not the one. Maybe she was never the one. Maybe there's only one great physician, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, Doc Baker was a good physician, but he wasn't the great physician. You know, and not only was Jesus a dermatologist, not only was he an orthopedic specialist, not only did he was in preventive medicine, he worked with a lot of other things. But he was also a hematologist. A hematologist. There was a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in a crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt it in her body, and she was freed from all of her suffering. Jesus was a hematologist. He specialized in blood, and the physicians of Jesus' day, with all the knowledge that was available to them, could not heal the woman with the issues of the blood. Even hypocrites knew that. On the part of both the patients and the physicians, the virtue was essential of the healing process. I tell you, God is a wonderful physician. God truly, truly cares about you. He truly cares about you. And he loves you. You know, you ever thought about the earlier civilizations? What they knew about, you know, what kind of physicians were they? You know, the Babylonians, they left medical writings describe various diseases so clearly that doctors, they can readily recognize them. You know, the Bible acknowledges the existence of the Egyptian physicians in Genesis 52. They believe that illness was caused by the evil spirits coming to live in the patient's body. And they believe medical treatment usually includes prayer to drive out the evil spirits, but they also include pills and ointments containing drugs such as opium and lubricants such as castor oil. And from that day until this, there have been incredible advances in the field of medicine. During the Renaissance, barbers practiced medicine. The field is so vast that no one man can master all available medicine information. Consequently, specialists dominate the medical sense. There was one physician, however, who mastered every field with 100% success ratio. He never lost a patient, even though he was unaided by anesthesia, antiseptics, drugs, chemotherapy, or surgery. Yes. And who was that great physician that had mastered every field and that have never lost one patient? That great physician today is Jesus Christ, and He cares for you. And I'm here to tell you today that He will never lose a patient. He will never lose you. And He cares about you. You know, Jesus is also a neurologist in Matthew 8:5-13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one comes, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to these those that are following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel such great faith. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I'm here to tell you today that palsy is a disorder of the central nervous system that leads to paralysis. And I'm also here to tell you that Jesus healed him according to his faith. Do you have faith today that Jesus will heal you? Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal you, and sometimes it's hard to believe, and we go to our doctors and we want them to heal us. But have we ever given Jesus a chance to heal you? He is the great physician. But whatever happened to that Doc Baker today? You don't see that today in this world, do you? No. Our hospitals are very cold. Our hospitals are very big, and they don't have the love and the care that Jesus can give you. Not only is Jesus a neurologist, but he's also an otolaryngologist. Yes, and that is Mark 7:31-37, where Jesus heals the deaf and the mute man. When Jesus left to the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis, there some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. And after he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear. And when he spit and touched the man's tongue, he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ear was open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. And Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it, and people were overwhelmed with the amazement that he had done. Yes. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. You know, deafness and related problems have remained a mystery to the great degree, even to this day. However, these problems were not too great of the greatest healer of all, the great physician, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes. Jesus is very awesome. Yes. Jesus is our great physician, and he does want to heal you, and he does want to do great and mighty things in your life. And he not only he's a great physician, but he has many different specialties. Not only is he a neurologist and orthopedic specialist, he does so much more. He's a pediatrician. You name it, a dermatologist. But Jesus here is also, and he's an ophthalmologist in John chapter 9. Here's an occasion where Jesus had a prescription, and a man had to go to the pharmacy, the pool of Siloam, and by faith to get a complete cure. God, by design, does not make all cures instant, but here, this is what happened. Not only that, Jesus is a cardiologist. Not only is Jesus a cardiologist, but he further specializes in hydropathology. Dropsy is defined as an unnatural collection of water anywhere in the body, and is often associated with the heart. Consequently, digitalis prescribed as a remedy or a corrective treatment. So here we have Jesus at the Pharisee's house, and one Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. And there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of the body. Jesus asked the Pharisee and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent, so taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Yeah, Jesus is a cardiologist, and he specializes in hydropathology. Jesus is the great physician. He is the great physician, and I hope you understand that today, that not only that, Jesus is a psychiatrist. 900 years after Jesus provided the cure, you know, for you to probe to find the cause of mental disorders. And here, Jesus restores the demon-possessed man. They sail to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee, where Jesus stepped ashore, and he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in the house, but had lived in the tomb. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus has commanded the impure spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hands and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Legion,' he replied, 'because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss.'" And you know the story here. The demons left and they went into a bunch of pigs, and with the permission of Jesus, these pigs ran off the cliff. But Jesus is the great physician. Not only that, Jesus is a postmodern resuscitative specialist. In Mark 5:22-27, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Furthermore, Jesus had special experience in digestive psychology in verse 43. And when he said, "Give her something to eat," he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus is the great physician. Jesus cares more about your body than you'll ever know. He knows more about your body. He knows more about what's going on in your body. He knows what's more is going on around your body. Jesus is a great physician, and he prescribes a lot of things. Not only that, believe it or not, Jesus is also a plastic surgeon. For all you people that want to have that perfect body and have those perfect figures, Jesus is the plastic surgeon. In Luke 22, verse 50 and 51, and one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear, and he healed it. You know, Jesus is so awesome. He is the great physician. But whatever happened to Doc Baker? Doc Baker was a good physician. He loved the Little House on the Prairie and Walnut Grove. I mean, he truly cared. But what's happening in America today? I don't think these doctors truly care about us. They just give you medicine and go on your way. They don't have the heart that Jesus did. Jesus is a great physician. You know, not only that, Jesus was also in forensic medicine. In John 11:1 through 46, the death of raising of Lazarus. Forensic simply means having to do with public or judicial debate, because that all usually associates with death. And the word has become fairly synonymous with the duties of the coroner. Jesus raised them. Yes. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus dealt with forensic evidence. Jesus was a dermatologist. Yes, he was. Jesus was an orthopedic specialist. Yes, he was. Jesus was in preventive medicine. Yes, he was also a hematologist. He was a pediatrician. Yes, he was. Jesus was a neurologist. Oh, yes, he was. He was an otolaryngologist. And if I don't say that right, forgive me. He was a ophthalmologist, a cardiologist. He was a psychiatrist. Jesus was a postmodern resuscitative specialist. He was a plastic surgeon, and Jesus was also a forensic. He was in forensic medicine. Jesus truly is the great physician. Yes, and Jesus loves you. And Jesus wants to heal you in your body. And come on today, somebody. The Bible says that God wishes us all to be in good health. But if you're not in good health, turn to Jesus and he will show you how. What to eat, what to drink, exercise daily. Maybe your body just needs rest. Whatever Jesus prescribes, I'm telling you, he's the great physician. So whatever happened to Doc Baker? whatever happened to Doc Baker. He was a good physician. He truly cared about Walnut Grove. But he wasn't the great physician like Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And yes, he does want to heal you.